It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Almost feel like today should be designated as Caitlin Clark Day in Indiana. It is draft time in the WNBA. The Indiana Fever will select Caitlin Clark with the number one overall pick. Welcome to another edition of the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Big show today covering everything from the Comets to the Tin Caps to the Colts, Indiana basketball. We've got the Pacers heading to the playoffs. And, of course, we'll have guests, including Scott Agnes from the Fieldhouse Files, to talk Pacers basketball. We might ask him about all the drama surrounding the Fever tonight. And Sean Sidlowski from the Comets will join us. And we'll ask the question. I don't think the answer's been necessarily concluded, but we do have to ask the question, will Sean Sidlowski continue playing hockey? But tough season for the Comets over the weekend. Things didn't go their way. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Got a lot of Tin Caps baseball in over the weekend. And Adam, you got some Tin Caps baseball in over the weekend, you broadcast legend, you.
Yeah, I was able to join the Tin Caps broadcast on Friday night alongside Mike Moz on the radio.
I mean, just add it to the list. Mike Cousins, Mike Monaco, all the guys that you're now seeing on network television, broadcasting games, soon to be Adam Lundy. I didn't hear it.
Mm.
Nobody has sent me audio clips, nor has there been posted highlights, but I hear good things. I did get a good report card from you.
Hey, I'm glad to hear
it. Like I'm the one that they owe the explanation to.
Well, I appreciate Mike and John with the Tin Caps for letting me join.
Yeah,
that was really nice.
Yeah,
and,
it's where jump in for an inning or two or three.
Or the whole game.
No, it's the whole game. Although you did have to step aside. Dylan Sin took over for an inning or two there in the middle.
Yeah.
Gave you a little break, got a chance to go get a sandwich or something. Or did
popcorn.
You? Oh, you got the popcorn.
Oh,
the food was probably put away by that time.
Most of it was.
That's always one of the nice things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you do TV, you don't have to talk as much. So you can sneak bites in between. Nobody even knows. We're up there chowing down while the game's going on. But big weekend of Tin Caps baseball, wrapping up the series, being able to get the games in, first of all, after a couple of rainouts. And John Nolan had sent us this note on, I believe, Friday,
mm-hmm.
where he said just a little fun fact, one of those stats of the day, is that the last time the Tin Caps had back-to-back rainouts, they were actually the Wizards. It had never happened in Tin Caps history. It had never happened before at Parkview Field. And the last time that the organization had back-to-back rainouts was on, what was it, May 29th and 30th, or 30th and 31st of 2006.
Yeah.
Ethan Salas was born the next day. So in Ethan Salas's lifetime, there had never been back-to-back rainouts, and the Tin Caps had it last week. And because of the back-to-back rainouts, the Tin Caps didn't get a full series in. They didn't get all six games, but they did win the series by sweeping the Saturday-Sunday trio of games. What a good weekend of Tin Caps baseball. I mean, you had nice weather. It was a little bit cool on Saturday, I'll admit. Maybe had to have a jacket on with the breeze blowing, temperatures in the 60s, but a lot of sunshine. I don't even know if we saw a cloud on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it warmed up. Beautiful day.
Beautiful, absolutely, and I'm glad that the Caps were able to get at least 5 of 6 out of that play-in series in just with all that rain that we had.
Tin Caps end up taking 3 of the 5 in the series after dropping the first 2 and being behind all the way up until the bottom of the last inning in the 3rd game of the series. So they were that close to losing the series in the 1st game of the doubleheader on Saturday. But heroics for the Tin Caps. They score 3 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning. Now, remember, it's only a 7-inning game because of the doubleheader. Bottom of the 7th, they're down 3-1. They score 3 runs. They walk it off. 4-3 victory for the Tin Caps. And then they rode that momentum to a 3-0 shutout win in game 2. And came back on Sunday. Once again, fell behind. This time, 5-0 in the 2nd inning. They were down, what was it, 7-2 in the 7th inning?
Yeah.
And they came back 7th and 8th inning. They combined to score 6 runs. They scored 4 of them in the 7th inning and then 2 more in the 8th. And Tin Caps held on in the top of the 9th. And they pick up the victory on Sunday to wrap up the series with the Lake County Captains. And so, great attendance, over 4,000 both days. How about Fort Wayne for a sports town?
Oh, it's hard to, yeah.
I mean, there's no, you know, there's no surprise here that Fort Wayne is one of the best sports towns in all of America when it comes to minor league sports. Yes, we don't have Major League Baseball. We don't have an NFL team. But we do have minor league sports, and we embrace them. We have high school sports. We embrace them. Just a terrific sports town here in Fort Wayne, and a good example of that was Sunday, where you had the Tin Caps at 1 o'clock, beautiful outdoor weather, and then the Comets with their season finale, their regular season finale, and in fact, their season finale. Mm-hmm. They had that at 5 o'clock, and so I think there were some fans that actually pulled off the doubleheader.
Wow.
Our buddy Ben at Midwest Box Breaks, who does promotions with both teams. So he had a promotion going with the Tin Caps. Once they were done with signatures and everything, he had to book over at the Coliseum and set up everything for this promotion with the Comets. So he was keeping busy on Sunday.
Yeah, speaking of that, he actually got a shout-out by the Topps social media page on Twitter.
Really?
/ X. He got a shout-out by them, just kind of, they called it an awesome hobby moment that he gave out almost 11,000 cards.
Yeah.
So
that's one thing. He understands the future of the hobby is in the hands of the kids, getting them interested, getting them collecting cards. And he passes out thousands and thousands and thousands of free cards to kids at those Tin Caps and Comets games. But anyway, we ended up with over 4,000 at the ballpark downtown, which for a mid-April or early April game, that is unbelievable on a Sunday afternoon to have over 4,000 in the ballpark. And then over 10,000 that attended the Comets game.
Yeah.
10,300.
And it's not only 10,000, but it's 10,000 that just came out to support the Comets for one last time, regardless of the results of the season. They just wanted to.
They figured, we're not going to see them in the playoffs, honey. Might as well go see them today because it's our last chance.
And show their support.
And maybe it was Sean Sadlowski's last game. And he has been, I think you can include him as one of the Comets legends.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you talk about the guys that they introduce and come out on the ice before the game, Sean Sadlowski certainly earned a place there. Should Sean Sadlowski have a banner raised? Should that number be retired? Should Sadlowski hang in the banners for all of eternity with the Comets? I think yes, because I think anybody who grinds through the number of seasons he grinded through, the kind of injuries he had to overcome and continuous hockey career, and let's face it, we won a championship with him. There's a lot of accomplishments that the Comets have had. They've had a pretty successful run this year, notwithstanding. But this year really wasn't a bad year. In fact, the Comets had a better record than they did a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they just had too many teams that were better than they were. And I think we found that out over the final week when they got beat by some of the teams that are going to the playoffs, losing at Wheeling, but then also losing the overtime game against the Indy Fuel and losing twice to Toledo. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if it matters that the Comets didn't make the playoffs because they were not going anywhere. They were just not good enough when it came to the very top teams in the ECHL. And but we had a great crowd at the Comets game yesterday, but losing the last four is not going to get you into the playoffs. And it's unfortunate because the Comets had a playoff position going into last week, and unfortunately that all fell apart. And they even got a little bit of help, but not enough, because they had to also help themselves. So Comets, no playoffs this year, and that does not happen often. That is not something we usually are talking about.
No, it's a quite a rare occasion. It's kind of like the eclipse.
I mean, how upset are you if you're a Comet fan? I know Griff, Coach Griff, you know, I know that he doesn't feel upset. He's like, you know, this happens. Good effort all year long, entertaining season. Just, you know, just good luck to the teams that did make it. And this is the Comets' turn to step aside, regroup, and maybe rebuild a little bit earlier for next year. But I'm a little upset.
You're a little upset?
We have a lot of pride with that organization. I mean, we're, you know, one thing about Fort Wayne is we are forever connected with the Comets. I mean, there are people still that know Fort Wayne exists because of Bob Chase and Comet Hockey around this country. They know, you know, the Comets have a unique nickname, the Comets with a K.
Absolutely.
The fact that it's on WoWo, a heritage radio station, and has been since they invented radio. And Bob Chase basically was the play-by-play voice for about two lifetimes. I mean, he, you know, what, 60-some years that he was the play-by-play voice for the Comets. And so... I feel like we have a connection with the Comets, and it does, you kind of hurt personally.
I get it.
When they don't make the playoffs. It's like all those other cities now have one up on us. Mm. They made it, we didn't. And you almost go in feeling like that's our spot. What is Wheeling doing? Wheeling doesn't have a heritage, a tradition, a history. No, we do. We're the Comets. And we belong in the playoffs because that's our rightful spot at the end of the season is to play playoff hockey. And so, yeah, I'm a little disappointed that it didn't get done.
Hey, I think that's just you having pride in the organization and your city. So, hey, nothing wrong with that. And I think those high standards are what lead to us having such a quality hockey club every season.
And I think that's where the expectations are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we expect to be in the playoffs. We expect to be playing for championships. And when it an expectation, when you know, when you get fooled or you don't achieve what you expect, it's disappointing. And so, yes, I'm disappointed. I'm not happy. Now, am I, you know, losing sleep over it? No, because I don't think the team would have advanced very far in the playoffs anyway. But it is kind of a sense of pride that, you know, your ego is hurt a little bit. Ego
sure.
As a city, not me personally. Your ego as a city is hurt a little bit because all these other teams... You know, little old Kalamazoo, little, you know, Wheeling and, you know, all these other teams that are getting into the playoffs and the Comets aren't. Indianapolis, come on, the Fuel, come on.
Come on.
I mean, they were pretty good this year, but.
Man, the whole Central was pretty darn good.
I mean, yeah, but they got an old building that everybody's trying to get out of. I mean, by the way, the new arena for the Fuel is gorgeous.
Looking good. I don't know
if you've seen.
I haven't.
I saw it when we drove by it. Going down to the state finals.
Coming together nicely.
Yeah.
Credit to them.
It's fully enclosed.
Sure.
But they don't have the facade up. But that building, which is just off the Fisher's exit, is going to be very convenient for Comet fans. It's 90
to make
minutes.
The trip down, yeah.
It's 90 minutes.
Make yourself known.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Let's find out what's happening in the world of sports. It's time to check today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right, thanks, Brett. Well, the Colts and three-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle DeForest Buckner reached agreement today on a two-year, $46 million contract extension that ties him to Indianapolis through the 2026 season. Chris Ballard's statement on extending DeForest Buckner, quote, DeForest has been the epitome of what it means to be a Colt the last 4 years. As one of the premier defensive tackles in the league, he is a destructive force on our defensive line. The 2024 NFL strength of schedules have been predicted. This is based on Vegas's forecasted win totals. The Indianapolis Colts ranked in at the 7th most difficult strength of schedule. The team with the most difficult schedule this upcoming season by the measure is the Atlanta Falcons. After a disappointing 14-68 season, the Detroit Pistons have decided to hire a new head of basketball operations slash president and will begin their search process this week. More NBA news. Attendance was up 1.4% in the NBA this season, with the league setting records for ticket sales and sellouts. The total attendance in the regular season that ended on Sunday was 22,500,000. The league said the second consecutive season in which the NBA set that record. And a Comets record. After an announced crowd of 10,335 on Sunday, the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, the Comets set the all-time franchise record for average attendance in a season, breaking the previous mark of 80,090. And a little bit more Comets news. Not sure how this is going to work, Brett, but Daniel Amesbury was suspended 5 games for leaving the penalty box to try and fight. He got a game misconduct during the game. And that's all for today.
That's our headlines.
I'm just not sure how he's going to be suspended 5 games.
Well, it will roll over into next season.
You think so? All right.
Oh, yeah. When you get pegged and if you play any ECHL hockey, that suspension is going to be on the record.
Well, there you go.
There's today's top headlines with Adam Lundy. You know, coming up on the show, I'm going to tell you, because I've got the scoop, on a 6'4 Wisconsin Badgers guard who has entered the portal and is transferring, and he has decided that he will be attending a mid-major. I'll tell you more about it coming up. Can't do it yet.
All right.
It's coming. all right, so Pacers, Fever. I mean, we've got news from the Hoosiers, news about Purdue. We've got an update on their schedule for next season. A lot to talk about, and Scott Agnes will join us from Fieldhouse Files coming up at 4:35. It's a packed, packed Monday edition of the Sports Rush here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Kind of wild now, the transfer portal, which at first we watched to see all the names going in. Now we're watching to see all the names that are committing. And today, a Wisconsin guard, 6'4". Transfer out of Wisconsin has selected a mid-major as his next destination. That's right. Isaac Lindsay, a 6'4 junior guard out of Wisconsin, is going to go to South Dakota State. Not the word you were expecting?
Not exactly, Brett, but hey. Congratulations to Mr. Lindsay. Good luck with the Jackrabbits.
That other Wisconsin guard that you might have been confused by, he has been visiting South Carolina. This past weekend was in Maryland, and I don't know if he's visited or is scheduled to visit Michigan. I think he may have visited IU, but it may have been a covert mission. Anyway, bottom line is we'll just have to see.
Got to wait and see.
Got to wait and see. Maybe he'll, you know, be inspired by one of his former teammates that's decided that the mid-major is exciting. Speaking of basketball, tonight it is the start of the Caitlin Clark era in Indianapolis. Officially, it will begin when the Indiana Fever will announce her as their choice with the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. It is the biggest star to hit Indianapolis than perhaps Peyton Manning. It's right there with Taylor Swift. You know, she's coming to Indy this year, too. It's a big year for Indianapolis.
Oh, man.
You got Taylor Swift and Caitlin Clark both coming into town.
Two very popular women in their respective
categories. Two of the biggest stars at the peak right now. Now, you know, you almost wonder, has Taylor Swift picked up extra popularity because she's dating Travis Kelce? Has that worked out as a great PR move?
Maybe a little bit from the football crowd. Might have gotten some of the NFL guys on her side.
Caitlin Clark expected to be called just a little after 7:30 tonight from Brooklyn over the weekend, spending it in New York City. She also made an appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch Caitlin Clark at the Weekend Update desk?
I caught a replay of it on social media.
Pretty good stuff.
Good stuff, yeah. Making her appearances in media, just being her star self, I guess.
Got, you know, now, clearly not an actress.
No.
But at least showed some personality. You know, that's one thing I'm sure that her people are telling her, you know, you've got to be likable for marketability. And, you know, at times in college, she probably didn't really think about the marketability of some of her actions. She got too consumed with the competition. And even her dad tried to keep her in line from the stands. Stop arguing. But no, she made an appearance on Weekend Update and kind of put Michael Che in his place a little bit. It was kind of fun to see. And then actually had him do a bit where she said she wrote some jokes for him. And it was pretty amusing. But anyway, so the Fever, now this isn't the only pick they've got. They got three picks coming up tonight.
That always helps.
I think they have 1, 15, and 27. Is that right?
I'll confirm.
Something like that. Let's just say that the draft is not over when Caitlin Clark gets selected by the Fever. And she will be selected by the Fever. There's not much question.
No.
Now, speaking of pro basketball in Indianapolis, Pacers, they've locked in the sixth seed. So they are officially in the playoffs for the first time since 2020. And, of course, that was the COVID year. And so it's the first chance to actually go through a playoff series played in home arenas since 2019. And so the Pacers will be hosting their first playoff game at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in the series against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, how about this? You got the Bucks, who the Pacers have owned this year, winning 4 out of 5 against Milwaukee. You've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, still not sure if he's going to be able to go in game one. He's a game-by-game, day-by-day situation. Good place to be, I think, if you're the Pacers.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think they should go in this like thinking, oh, we've done a great job against the Bucks in the regular season. We can just continue to do that here in the playoffs.
But would you rather have a team that you control, that you handled 4 out of 5 during the season, or would you have it? Would you want a team that's beaten your butt so you know you got to be better than you've ever been against them before? I like this situation better, Adam. I think the Pacers know the recipe to beat Milwaukee, and number one is to score points, put pressure on Milwaukee, because I don't think their defense is nearly as strong. Remember, Drew Holiday was a big part of that defense. When they traded him away, we talked about it. They were trading Holiday for Lillard, and we're like, man, they're giving up a lot of defense. They're giving up their defensive stopper to get a three-point shooter.
Yep.
And then Lillard has days like he had yesterday where he goes 2 for 14 and 0 for 4 from 3, and then a defensive liability. They give up a lot of points. In fact, the Pacers have averaged 128.8 points per game against the Bucks in their 5 meetings this year.
Yeah, that's good stuff for the regular season. I'm just worried that maybe the defense will be ratcheted up. The scoring will go down a little bit. It always tends to do so in the playoffs a little bit. And then I'm worried about the Pacers defense, because if the Bucks do get hot, if Giannis goes on
like
a scoring streak.
Pacers defense is worth bragging about much either.
And if Dame does get hot, that's also going to be tough to defend too. And he is kind of known for showing up in the playoffs Dame time.
Nebhard is going to have to be a guy that steps up, because he's one of those that says, give me that guy, I'll take him and take him out of the game. But we'll see. The series will get started on Sunday in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. By the way, the Pacers tied a franchise record yesterday with 157 points in their rout over Atlanta. You want to talk about a team that struggles defensively?
There's one.
Yeah, and Atlanta now is going to be in that win in advance type of play-in. They've got to take on the Chicago Bulls. I, at this point, think that I'm favoring the Bulls.
Me too.
You know, a lot of times you get to the playoffs and it's the best player on one team against the best player on the other team, and that's just the way the playoffs are.
Absolutely.
It's star-driven when you get to the playoffs. And DeRozan has been hot, so I'll take DeRozan over I don't want to say rusty, but Trae Young. I'll take DeRozan. More complete, I think, in his ability to score. Bucks, by the way, lost to Orlando yesterday, 113-88. If it's any sign of what you've got with the Bucks without Giannis, it did not go well yesterday. And as I mentioned, Dame Lillard was 2 for 14 in that game for Milwaukee.
Saw them fall to the 3 seed, and you know what that meant with the
Who's number two, Adam? I know. Who is number two? It just so happens to be your New York Knicks. What an overtime win for the Knicks.
Hey, that was close, man.
Yeah.
DeRozan, like you said, he was looking good yesterday.
I mean, he almost single-handedly got that win for Chicago, but the Knicks just would not quit.
Nope.
But either would the Bulls. That's what made the game so exciting.
It was a great, great way to end the regular season. Knicks finished with 50 wins and the second seed in the East.
Yep. And number one seed, obviously, is Boston. We'll talk more about the playoffs and some of the matchups that we're looking forward to coming up later in the show. Also, this news, when we talk transfer portal, there's portal news all over the place. And, it, of course, the most eyes right now are on Bloomington. And I say that not to disregard Purdue, but Purdue doesn't even have a scholarship. In fact, they've already got one extra player in scholarship than they're allowed. So, you know, it's not like you've got a bunch of transfers visiting West Lafayette. But Indiana, that's got, they went into this with, what, 8 open scholarships. They did lock up Washington State transfer Miles Rice, averaged about 15 points per game last year for the Cougars, 3.8 assists, 3.1 rebounds, 1.6 steals per game. The number that probably doesn't satisfy a lot of Hoosiers fans is Rice shot 27.5%. from beyond the three-point line.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Now, we said Friday, one of the spots Indiana had to get was a point guard. Now, there's other point guards still looking at Indiana, but you wonder, is this going to shy them away from joining the Hoosiers now that the Hoosiers have Gabe Cupps, who's returning? Yes, he's not the guy you want as your number one point guard, but can he be developed into a number two point guard? And then the other thing is, do you want to come in knowing you're battling for that starting spot at point guard? Or does it mean Trey Galloway gets comes off the bench and you start two guys? Because I'm thinking of Kanaan. Is it Kanaan or Cannon? I still don't know. On Carlisle, the kid from Stanford, the 6'3" guard.
Cannon or Kanaan.
I know he's a guy that a lot of people are looking at. And then I absolutely would do anything to get a Ryan Conwell on my team. Why? Because he's a totally complete package. At 6'4", he's a tall, long guard. He can pick up a 2. He can guard a 3. Averages almost 17 points per game. Averaged 6 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Shot over 40% from 3. I don't know where he's going. I don't know how many teams have jumped on him, but I guarantee you that he is a guy that's going to be in demand just because he's a little bit of a unicorn.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of those guys that can do just about, you know, you want to put him at the 2 as a shooting guard. You want to put him at the 3. Conwell can play both. And he fit perfectly into that Indiana State offense where you drive, kick, and make the extra pass on the perimeter to set up open threes. He shot very well with the Sycamores this past season. Balo.
Yeah, Umar.
Umar Balo from Arizona.
The big man.
The big guy. He about a 7-footer that close to 260 pounds. He is currently at Bloomington today. And in fact, he took a video that he posted to his Instagram inside Assembly Hall. So there's confirmation. Yes, he was there. And I thought it was very interesting when he took the video. He scanned through Assembly Hall. And there on the video board, right over center court, big and bold, "We make pros here." And not "we raise banners," not "we win championships," or, you know, "welcome to Indiana, the place for basketball," you know, whatever. However you want to billboard it, but clearly the pitch to these guys, "We make pros here." I mean, you're recruiting guys on being individualized. And maybe that's part of what we're seeing on the court. 46862. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We'll take a timeout. We got to talk all things Pacers, NBA playoffs, and the WNBA draft. Scott Agnes from the Fieldhouse Files joins us next. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We'll look back at the Comet season with Sean Sidlowski, who will join us coming up about 5:20 this afternoon. And, of course, it is officially Caitlin Clark Day in Indiana. She will be picked by the Indiana Fever with the number one pick in tonight's WNBA draft. She has officially arrived, so she's doing her part. Now we know what the Fever has to do. Right now, it is Scott Agnes who joins us to talk a little WNBA, but also the NBA playoffs starting this week. And, of course, Scott, I don't think there's a whole lot of drama going into tonight. The Fever are going to select Caitlin Clark. What do you expect from her and the impact she'll have on the Fever?
Yeah, good afternoon, Brett. It's not very often I feel like you have the sure thing, right, necessarily, at least to this degree. But we had it last NBA draft with Victor Wembanyama, no question at all. And the same thing is true tonight with Caitlin Clark, who's decked out in a Prada outfit, arriving, as you said, there in Brooklyn. And I think you got to enter this upcoming season, one with a lot of excitement, but also understand, hey, look, they drafted her and had the chance to draft her because of their record the last couple of years. Now they're starting the turnaround with head coach Christy Sides. You had the number one pick in Aliyah Boston last year. Kelsey Mitchell's been there for 6 years. Several other guards, but it's going to be a very interesting and productive and exciting, I think, duo in particular with Caitlin, with Aliyah Boston, the inside out, the pick and roll. And you're seeing just the landscape of the interest level change on all degrees. And that's in large part to Caitlin, but also her counterparts in women's basketball. Now it's on the WNBA to take it a step further, grab the baton, and keep the momentum rolling.
Something I never thought I'd hear from Scott Agnes. She showed up wearing Prada. Just wasn't exactly expecting him to go all E.T. and give us the red carpet description. But she did
look. I can do it all for you.
She did look very fashionable. I'll say that. But I don't need to know what designer everyone is wearing. But tonight the draft. And that's not the only pick the Fever are going to have. And, of course, nobody's really talked about who else they might be taking or what their needs might be. Do you expect them to package these couple of other picks, try to move around in the draft? What do you think is going to happen after number one rolls around?
Yeah, so after that, it's very, very hard to say. They have a 15th pick overall and then 27th. And the challenge here in the big perspective is there just aren't a ton of open roster spots in the WNBA. That's why so many want to see expansion. They want to see, can you push to 14 teams? Ideally, I think you get to 16 teams because roster spots are in such battles for those, right? There was a couple of years ago, I think the Fever had four first-round picks, maybe five, like maybe a couple are still around. So there's a chance that 15 overall, maybe you could have a little value out of that. But the reality is that third round, for example, that's not going to get you anything of much value.
Scott Agnes joining us here on the Sports Rush. Let's turn to the NBA. We now know the Pacers have locked in the sixth seed. They get the Bucks in the first round. Mm-hmm. Adam and I had this debate earlier. Do you want somebody that you've had pretty good control of? Adam's concern is that the Pacers will have a false sense of confidence going into the series. But I said, I'd rather have confidence than having my butt whooped four or five times during the year. So what do you think about this matchup?
I think I want to tell fans to be just cautiously optimistic. A lot of people look back at the season. They remember how they played them five times by early January, like January 3rd, and won four of them. But keep in mind, Pascal Siakam wasn't on that team. Buddy Hield was. Bruce Brown was. On top of that, Doc Rivers wasn't the head coach. He's come in. He's helped what they've been able to do and untapped what they're trying to do with Damian Lillard and Giannis. The positive side, too, of all this as well, from a Pacer fan's perspective, is we just don't know what Giannis is going to look like. Mm-hmm. Because the Pacers don't have an answer for him. Some teams can slow him down, but remember he went for a Bucks franchise record in one game. He nearly had it in another. I think he averaged over 40 points in the series. So the number one storyline in this one is his health. What will he look like when he does play? Does he miss a game or two? Because he's dealing with a calf strain that he suffered 6 days ago. So his climb back from that. But I view these as somewhat very different teams. However, in the big picture, both teams are trying to do and have the same emphasis. The Pacers are going to run. They're going to try to shoot. They're going to and knock down a lot of three-pointers and get the dunks in transition. The Bucks, meanwhile, give it to Giannis, give it to Dame, and also they want to keep you out of the paint.
It does seem, Scott, like when you get to the playoffs that it's defense that all gets ramped up for just about everybody. Do the Pacers have a defense that can do anything in the playoffs?
I think early on, absolutely. It's not elite, but what it is, I think, is it's trending towards average. And that's enough because it was awful. It was atrocious, right? How many times have we talked about this over the last couple of years? They were like 26th for the first couple months of the season. Then on December 19th, after a bad loss to the Clippers, decided to change things up, reset things. And that was even before they made the trade for Pascal Siakam, right? Different starting lineup. You started big. You started more physical. From a Pacers perspective, I think their biggest thing here is how do you slow down Giannis? And what does your defense look like in the big picture here? You're not worried about things offensively, maybe a little bit in the half-court set. If the Bucks are knocking down shots, you're always grabbing it out of the net. And on top of that, what you'll see is like we saw with the Lakers and Tyrese Halliburton in the in-season tournament, teams are really going to lock in on Tyrese Halliburton even more. You chase him the full length of the floor. You pick him up at and really pressure him at half court. You make his life miserable. And if you do that, the thought is, all right, we're going to have success because he's the engine. He's not the top scorer. That's Pascal Siakam. But if we slow him down, the ball's just not going to have the zip that it does and should give them a better chance to beat the Pacers.
Some of the teams that have to play play-in games, some of the big names and some of the teams that we've seen regularly in the playoffs over the last 5 years, 10 years, I look at the four play-in games scheduled for Tuesday and Wednesday, and the one, if I rank them, the number one play-in game on my list as far as intrigue, Heat 76ers. What do you got?
I got to go with the Lakers in New Orleans just because I don't know how many more times we have a chance to see LeBron play. I know that's probably the most obvious answer. I also really like New Orleans. The Atlanta-Chicago, I'm not sure it's even worth anybody's time. Philadelphia and Miami, I hope Joel Embiid's healthy. Miami's really been out of it in the last month or two, so I don't think they're any real threat. But then again, that's when Jimmy Butler loves it, right, when you count him out, when you don't give him a chance. But what's remarkable here is just I look out west, and you see the star power. And between those four teams, two of them aren't going to make it. A LeBron, an AD, or a Zion Williamson, or a Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, or even Domantas Sabonis, for an example, in Sacramento, who's had a spectacular year. So I'm most interested, I think, in the lineup tomorrow with the West game.
How many teams legitimately can we consider as threats to win the championship? When we talked about this, I had a buddy of mine that I was chatting with yesterday. And I said, you know, the problem when I look, especially through the East, there's nobody I look at and think, boy, they've really got a roster that's built to win a championship, other than maybe Boston. But they've let us down so many years. Do we really ride with Boston? Who do you look at in the East and say that team's primed to make a run at an NBA championship?
I agree with you, Brett, in the East outside of the Boston. I think I don't have any hesitations about them, and I'd be surprised if they do not come out of the East. It would have to be due to injuries or something like that, because the gap between one and everybody else has been large all season long. It's been the Celtics. It was the Bucks. Then after that for a while, the Bucks faded. Giannis's injury. I think the Celtics will be the ones to come out of the East. The West, much more difficult. You asked how many teams truly have a chance. My gut says three. It says Boston against either Denver or Minnesota. Oklahoma City's there. The youth scares me. They're an incredible story. They don't have much experience. That's why I think it was actually important and didn't cost you much to go get a Gordon Hayward who can at least been there, done that, advise, guide these guys. You know, how do you handle a big game going into it? How do you know, who's been to a big Eastern Conference type game? You never know how those players will respond. And to bring it back locally, That's why these games are so important for the Pacers. We're not expecting them to make much noise. We're not expecting them to get to the conference finals. But this is on the checklist of Tyrese Haliburton. In year four, he's finally getting to the postseason. Same way with several of the Pacers' young players. That's huge, and they can lean on Pascal Siakam, for example, who's won a title. That's why these games matter for the Pacers.
What about Phoenix? I know they're sitting in that sixth seed in the West. You didn't mention them, but I look at that roster and say, when it's healthy, are they capable of making a run against some of those teams at the top?
For a few games, sure. I kind of believe about them like you felt about Boston, where the inconsistencies, I haven't seen it enough. I have too much doubt with them. Didn't like the Bradley Beal trade. Big fan of what Booker and Kevin Durant can provide. But because of their top-heavy roster, they don't have a lot of depth. And while depth isn't extremely important in the postseason because the lineups tighten, you get the rotations to 8, 7, 8, 9 at best, I just don't. Generally, you'll see, and this is across different sports levels, NFL, whatever, it usually takes at least a team a year together to figure it out. Then if they're poised to make a run, it's in year two. So I think there's a chance they could really battle with the team and make things interesting, but I don't believe they're a real threat, Brett.
Scott, always appreciate you jumping on with us. We'll look forward to your coverage. And for those that want to follow what the Pacers are doing now that it's playoff time, be sure you get your subscription to the Fieldhouse Files. Thanks, Scott.
I appreciate it. Yep, you bet. Thanks, Brett.
Yep, that is Scott Agnes joining us here on the Sports Rush. Man, we've still got so much coming up. In hour number two, we've got to talk about the portal. At first, it was looking at guys that were jumping into the portal. Now guys have decided to jump out and have made their commitments, and we're seeing more of them on a daily basis. Who's the latest? We'll tell you about that. Also, Kentucky.
Oh.
They're going to be scrambling to put a roster together because
yeah.
A lot of guys are flying out of Kentucky. The Boogie Fland is one of them.
Yep, and there's more. So.
And remember, that was a guy that everybody thought Indiana had a real good shot at.
Oh, yeah. Indiana was the favorite for a good portion of time, and then Kentucky just kind of came in and swept him away.
Yep. And of course, the Colts making some news, paying another one of their own.
They do it again.
Perhaps even a little bit over market value, but that's been Chris Ballard's M.O., is that how he creates job security? Don't get caught making the big mistake or the bold move. Just stay safe. You got a team that can play 500 football. Don't screw it up. 500 football is enough to keep your job. I think DeForest Buckner is a heck of a football player, but I think the Colts took the easy way out here. No negotiation. Just basically hand him $46 million. I think we've got to talk about that. And Sean Sidlowski is going to join us coming up at about 5:20. So we're about 30 minutes away from talking to longtime Comet Sean Sidlowski. He'll join the Sports Rush at 5:20. Give us your thoughts on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Also, don't forget to be sure to download the 1380 app. Get it on your phone. The mic feature is now live. And that's kind of cool because you can just record a message to us on the app simply by tapping the chat icon. That's at the 1380 app. Be sure you have it on your phone. And if you go anywhere and want to listen to 1380 The Fan, we're available worldwide. You can listen via the app. You can listen via the stream at 1380thefan.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Hour number two on the other side. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.